Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, July 16th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 32, that second paragraph, starting with "A man of 30 was doing" through seven sentences today. Till it says, had qualified him to drink as other men. So we'll be commenting on these seven sentences this morning. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Kathy M., 12 Traditions, Mary P. Readers of the text, Tamara C., Luann C., and Shelley E. The reference number for Monday, July 15th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,572. That's 21572. And for this morning, Tuesday, July 16th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,574. That's 21574. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Hillary B., and Janice P.M. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Kathy M. to read the 12 steps of OA. Star 1, Kathy.
This is Kathy M. Sorry about that. I couldn't get unmuted. Kathy M., recovered compulsive overeater. And these are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to our human being, the exact nature of our wrong. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly of our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me be of service, and I hope everyone has a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Kathy M. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary P. Thank you, Mary P. Sorry about that. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us of overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 32, the second paragraph. A man of 30 was doing, through 7 sentences ending, had qualified him to drink as other men. And we'll be commenting on these 7 sentences today. And I'll now ask Tamara C. to read and then share with us.
Good morning. This is Tamara C., a recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. A man of 30 was doing a great deal of spree drinking. He was very nervous in the morning after these bouts and quieted himself with more liquor. He was ambitious to succeed in business, but saw that he would get nowhere if he drank at all. Once he started, he had no control whatever. He made up his mind that until he had been successful in business and had retired, he would not touch another drop. An exceptional man, he remained bone dry for 25 years and retired at the age of 55 after a successful and happy business career. Then he fell victim to a belief, which practically every alcoholic has, that his long period of sobriety and self-discipline had qualified him to drink as other men. Such an interesting story. I think that Bill puts this story here to help me get a deeper understanding of the way my disease works. I do get that when I'm abstinent, I'm not triggering that allergy of the body that I have. This paragraph really helps me look at the mental twist, which believes lies, like the lie that a long period of abstinence and self-discipline equals, well, now I can eat like a normal eater. Like this man in this story, I did see that overeating was a problem for me and it would interfere with my ambitions. And the ambitions, that I didn't think it would interfere with my teaching career so much, but my ambitions to look good, to be respected, to participate in physical activities, to be physically comfortable, and to feel good about myself. And so I saw that eating was going to interfere with these, so I made up my mind to do something about it. And for me, actually, it was countless times I made up my mind, I'm going to do something about this. And it might be go on a diet or start a new exercise program or join OA. And I did have long periods of abstinence, and I lost weight. And but even after OA, I came to OA, and day one, I went right back to a diet that had worked for me, and I called myself abstinent, and I lost a lot of weight and kept it off for a long period. But I didn't enlarge my spiritual life, although I tried. I did try. I did prayer and meditation. And I tried working the steps, although not following the big book instructions. And while I got a lot of blessings out of it, it really wasn't effective. I was still trying to control myself and others and using self-discipline to white-knuckle my eating. So being still unhappy, even after this long period of self-discipline, I turned back to food to comfort me. And my relapse started with this belief that most alcoholics have, that a long period of abstinence proves that I'm not really a serious compulsive overeater. I can have some of these foods if I eat them carefully. And, well, long story short, boy, was I proved wrong. I don't have this lie today. It has been smashed through painful research and evidence that leaves no doubt in my mind that I'm not qualified to eat like other people. In fact, it's the opposite. My disease progresses, and I've got to have a spiritual solution today, which is the my only hope. It's the treatment for that mental twist that believes those lies. And I'll pass there. Thank you, Dawn.
Thank you so much, Tamara C. What a great way to get us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on these seven sentences. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Ian F.
Ian F.
Melissa C.
Melissa C.
Eileen. Eileen from Maryland.
Eileen, and what's your initial, Eileen?
Oh, yes, D, as in David.
Very good. Would anyone else like to share? Who is that?
Vanessa G.
Vanessa G. Okay. All right, let's start with that lineup. I have Ian F., Melissa C., Eileen D., and Vanessa G. Ian F., please go ahead and get us started.
Hi, I'm Ian F., compulsive overeater out of Indiana. I just want to throw in there that, like, this extends past food. I was going to say this isn't just about food, but it is. But it extends past food. Like, there are days where, you know, I have these daily disciplines, and I have a really good day. And my first thought at the beginning of the next one is, well, I had a really good day yesterday. Maybe I can just take a break. You know, and this is not to say that you know, you need to be hard-ass every day. But there's a reason that we do this stuff every day. And that mental twist tells us, like, just today you can get by. And that's a landslide. You know, I mean, that's... You're not going to lose your abstinence over one day of not doing a nightly review. But you will lose your abstinence if you continue to not do your nightly review. And there's a reason we build the habits. And so I just think it's really worth looking at, like, okay, I'm like this way with food, but it doesn't start there. That's all I've got. Love y'all. I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Ian F. from Indiana. Melissa C., it's your turn, followed by Eileen D.
Hi, thanks so much for your service this morning. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm normally in New York, but I'm actually in Las Vegas, so I'm on this time zone. This really, and it's pretty applicable to like where I am right now. I'm on vacation. And if ever a time where I think that I'm qualified to now other people or live like other people, it'd be really easy on vacation, you know, especially in your and I'm surrounded by people doing things. And I've had years now of abstinence. And, you know, it's been 10 years that I've been recovered and abstinent. And I'm grateful that I really know deep down to the heart of me who I am, what I have, and what I require. And, you know, and like, I think everybody, we don't find this way out by just reading it. I think it's really good to read the book, but the book coupled with my own personal experience. And my personal experience has been that, you know, any time that I have in the past relapsed, it actually started on a vacation where I looked around and I saw other people and I looked like other people at that point. You know, I think it's especially dangerous when a compulsive overeater is at a normal, healthy body weight, because it's easy to think that my thin body qualified me to eat like other people, you know, not just time, but looking normal. And I would look around other people in bathing suits doing what I was doing and think, I'm making too big a deal about this, or I know somewhere I'm powerless, but I'll get my power back when I get home. And it doesn't work that way. You know, if I were to succumb to the temptation of the food, the bite of the food, thank you God I'm really not tempted today. But if I did, if I were tempted and I succumbed, come Monday when I get back, you know, to my normal routine, I would have no more power than I had, you know, the moment that I put the food in my mouth. And I'm really grateful to be here and to, you know what, that there is an East Coast, West Coast meeting for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Melissa C. from New York. Eileen D., please share with us, followed by Vanessa G., and then I'll be taking some more names in case you're just joining us. Quick reminder, we're talking about page 32, that second paragraph. Starts with, a man of 30 was doing through seven sentences ending, had qualified him to drink as other men. We're commenting on those seven sentences today. So Eileen D., please share with us.
Good morning, and thank you. My name is Eileen D. from Maryland. And it's very apropos that we would I'd land on this paragraph this morning and be with my lovely OA friends. Because for me, when I was younger, it was the same thing. If I just, you know, lost the weight and I was having a good run in business and doing well, all would be well. But the big part of the tripod that was missing was the spiritual part. And inevitably, I fell hard. And so here I am today, blessed to be abstinent. But I still have moments when I have to stop and do a serious 10-step. Thank goodness for the steps, because the 10-step will bring me back to where I am today. I'm not overeating. Yesterday I did not overeat. I was, like I said, very blessed not to overeat, but I was compulsive in my thinking. And I literally had to realize that I was compulsive because I had some issues I had to write about. And I live with a beautiful daughter, son-in-law, and grandson after selling my family home. And we're just, it's part of our heritage that we're all together, which is great. But sometimes I come back from being gone, visiting others and traveling, and I find I have a hard time transitioning. And I have a hard time transitioning because I, as an empath, I tend to want to fix everything. And I had to go to higher power, who I call God, and say, I can't do this. I'm getting compulsive, and the next thing that happens is food starts to talk. And so I had to, you know, made a commitment to come to the meeting this morning and call my sponsor, do a little writing, a lot of praying, and for now I'm not compulsive, and certainly food is not going to get the better of me because of the grace of this program. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Eileen D. from Maryland. Vanessa G., it's your turn to share. Please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, everybody. My name is Vanessa G., and I'm calling from New Mexico. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. It took me a long time to be able to say that. This story sort of illustrates for me how long in program I tried to eat like other people. It wasn't necessarily, other people that weren't compulsive overeaters. It was other people in this program. I'd look around and I had sponsors and who ate all, pretty much just about everything, and did it moderately, and had that type of recovery. And I tried over and over again to have the same type of quote-unquote abstinence, which wasn't abstinent for me. It wasn't until I came to this meeting and someone got a hold of me and really gave me clarity on what the term in the big book, entire abstinence, meant, that I was able to get honest and clear about what I was putting in my body and what was actually, creating the craving. I persisted in that illusion that I could be just like other people in this program. Do lookalikes, artificial substitutes, even certain types of abstinent food prepared a certain way. And it just isn't true for me. It's sort of an individual journey of honesty. And I pursued that illusion in Overeaters Anonymous to 360 pounds. And I am unendingly grateful that I found a big book study, this meeting, that I found people who would, talk to me about the term entire abstinence and who saved me. At the end of, it was 30 years for me too. I came to this program when I was 30 and found a big book study at, 30 years later. Half of my life is spent struggling with this disease in program. And all I can say is I'm so glad I finally found some solution. I found the solution in this book. And I appreciate all of you that bring it to me every day. Thank you so much for letting me share this with you. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Vanessa G. from New Mexico. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on these seven sentences found on page 32, the second paragraph. A man of 30 was doing through seven sentences ending, had qualified him to drink as other men. So
Margaret,
although we value...
Georgia.
Okay. Hold on one second. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So is that Margaret D. from Georgia?
It is, and I apologize. I really jumped the gun there.
No worries. I appreciate that enthusiasm.
Barbara E.
Hillary B.
Okay. I heard Barbara E., Hillary P., or Hillary B.
B as in boy. Yeah.
Very good. And who is the other name?
Leelan P.
Leelan P. Very
Donna
good.
Donnelly. Donnelly B.
I'm sorry. Oh, Donnelly.
B.
Donna Lee B.
Yep.
Perfect. Okay, I have Margaret D., Barbara E., Hillary B., Leelan P., Donnelly B. Anyone else?
K.S. from Iowa.
K.S. Okay, that's a fantastic lineup. Margaret D., followed by Barbara E. Go ahead and get us started, please, Margaret. Star one, Margaret.
Oh, sorry. Boy, if I'm not backwards, then I'm just even more backwards. Hey, good morning, everybody. Margaret D. and George.
Star one again, Margaret, please.
There we go. Margaret D. in Georgia. Good morning, everybody. I can absolutely, totally identify with Mr. Out Came the Slippers, and he was dead within 4 years. I have a quote in my bedroom, which says the secret of change is to focus all of your energy not on fighting the old, but on building the new. And for 35 years in program, I fought the old. That's exactly what I did. And that's kind of what I hear that this guy did. He didn't capitulate to the idea or even consider the idea that he could have been an alcoholic. Well, I knew I was a compulsive eater, but I never capitulated to the idea that I was powerless and that I would need help to have it removed, the compulsion to eat. And while I was abstinent for many years in a row, consecutive abstinence, I somewhat gave credit to my higher power. But it was only when I got diagnosed with a particular disease that I experienced what total surrender meant, because I knew I couldn't, there was not one thing I could do to help myself heal from this. And so change focus to me being in charge, that idea had to go. It absolutely had to go. And building on the new meant, going to see specialists and getting tests run and having medications and this whole nine yards. And you have absolutely no idea about the outcome. It is exactly the same with the disease of compulsive eating. Exactly the same. And it wasn't until the physical, till this message was really brought home to me in physically, that I realized I had to do the same thing with the compulsive eating. I had to absolutely turn over 100% any idea of what the results would look like or be like, or, maybe I might be recovered, but I might be living under an interstate bridge or something. I have no idea, or had no idea. And so I guess, again, the biggest thing that I can identify with in this guy is that although he had that willpower, he did not have the spiritual growth. And that's what recovery is. It's being abstinent is a state of mind.
Time.
As we heard earlier about, somebody saying that this guy was on a dry drunk for however many years. So I guess with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you so much, Margaret D. from Georgia. Barbara E., it's your turn, followed by Hillary B.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Tuesday to you all. I can relate so much to this paragraph about the man of 30, because when I came into OA, I was morbidly obese, a size 24, washcloths wrapped around my thighs because my thighs were rubbed raw. And I lost the weight. I stuck to the food plan. I probably was doing it with group support, but I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know that there was so much more than just losing the weight. So I lost all the weight, but my problem, my allergy to overeating, to stuffing myself with food, was still there. Compulsive overeating for me is like suicide on the layaway plan. But I, like that man of 30, thought I'd made it. My goodness, 25 years abstinent, the least I'm thin. So why can't I go out this time and eat like a normal person? Well, I'm abnormal. I'm not normal when it comes to that. My husband, bless his heart, can sit across the table from me and say, oh, this food is too rich. There's no such thing as food that's too rich. Come on, Neil. Or he'll say, I'm full. I'm not going to finish it. Well, I'll bring it in the kitchen and finish it for you. That's the kind of sickness I have. So I know that I have to do whatever I have to do, use every tool in the arsenal, use every step and not give in, because relapse does happen. And the allergy is when I can't stop eating, but the thought is what brought me to the thinking that, yes, I could have just one of anything that I am allergic to is just too many, because one is not enough. 1,000 is just perfect until I die from this disease, which is like being kicked by a bunny. You don't even know it until it's grabbed you by the throat. So have a good day, everyone. I wish you blessings and abstinence and joy. And for me, I have to remember an ill wind brings no good. So I have to remember that I have to look for the good today and just pray that my higher power, our higher power, knows what's best for the world. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Barbara E. Hillary B., it's your turn, followed by Leland P. Star one, Hillary.
I can't believe I did that again. Okay, I'm Hillary B. in Southern California, gratefully recovered for today. And I just, this line grabs me every time. Then he fell victim to a belief, which practically every alcoholic has, that my long period of abstinence and self-discipline qualifies me to eat like other people, non-compulsive overeaters. And for 40 years, I convinced myself in meetings, I'm not like you guys. I'm not as bad as you. I'm not a real compulsive overeater. I'm kind of a compulsive overeater, but not so bad that I have to do what all of y'all have to do. And so it took a long time for me to hit a bottom and see how ugly the disease was and the things it had done to me and was still doing. And I was in such a low, dark, dark place that I finally fully conceded to my innermost self that I am a real compulsive overeater. And it's been a year and 2 months and some days, and I am so much happier. There's more lightness inside of me and in my life. It doesn't mean my life is perfect, and I'm seeing so many character defects, character flaws. I'm seeing so much how my troubles are of my own making, and I keep making those troubles for myself over and over and over. But I only get to see it because I've put the food down. So that's the gift. That's the freedom. Without that, I'm 73, and I'm going to continue living the other miserable way where I eat and deny that I have any issues. I tell myself I got it together because I have a faith, which, by the way, I found it through OA. And that's enough, you know. But this, without the food, there's a space that's created in me that God can fill, that I can, there's a space that's created in me where I can tell myself, I need help, God help me. I can tell myself, bless her, change me. Bless him, change me. I can tell myself that instead of when I'm uncomfortable, blaming it on the other person. And that's all huge. It comes from putting the food down and working the steps. And no matter what it took, what it has taken me, it's all worth it. It's all worth it to have arrived at this place. And thank you so much, all of you, who share your disease with me every single morning so I can hear the message that I'm a compulsive overeater again today, or still today, and again today. I have to do this work. I have to see reality. I need God. I need outreach calls. I need step 10s. I got to do so much just to stay. Okay, that's it. Thank you so much for timing.
Thank you, Hillary B. from California. Lilan P., it's your turn, followed by Donna Lee B.
Hi, Lilan P. from Germany, compulsive overeater. Love this paragraph. Also love the last line that everyone's been citing. And I've been thinking about, it's very easy for me to talk about when I first came into program 30 years ago, because I was such a gutter eater. I was obese. I just accepted the program right away. I got abstinent right away. I belonged, and I got it. What is more humbling for me, and also so much more insidious, is the relapse that occurred. It's harder for me to talk about. So I want to talk about it. I developed another disease, a medical disease, and 15 years ago became housebound and mostly bedbound. And then I, due to other issues, I was only able to eat two foods with, I had searing pain unless I just ate these two foods. Something had been undiagnosed for 6 years. And by the time it was diagnosed, they didn't have the medication in Germany for it. So I had these two foods. And then strangely enough, the one other food I could tolerate was chocolate. Please don't ask me why my body was like, oh, I can do chocolate. I could. And it was, so I would sometimes have to leave the house to go to a doctor, or I would sometimes have visitors. And it would require a huge amount of energy on my part. So I had certain supplements and medications I would take, but I would also reserve a bar of chocolate for those days. Chocolate had not been part of my abstinence, to be clear. And actually for quite a number of years, about once or twice a month, I was eating one bar of chocolate, and that was the bar of chocolate. Then I was done. Then I went back to my other two foods that I could eat. And I can't tell you how I was able to do that. Like, I can't tell you how I was able to do that. But what I can tell you is that 6 months ago, suddenly I was like, late night ordering from Uber Eats, and it wasn't just chocolate, it was gummy bears, and it was other completely nuclear foods for me, and I couldn't stop. And then it was just one, I would do it, then 2 weeks, then I'd be fine, then 2 weeks later, suddenly I'm doing it again. And I'm like, what? How is this possible? And I would wake up in the mornings and think it had been a dream, but it was real. And I remember when my first years of abstinence, I would wake up having dreams that I had binged, but it was just a dream. And now I was waking up. I'm sorry, did someone say time? Anyway, I was waking up and I was like, wait, that wasn't. And then what I saw is, as I was hiding the food wrappers so my caregiver wouldn't see them. And that just
time
was giving me, thanks, the jitters. And so I'm so glad I'm back here, and these A Vision for You meetings are incredible, and they're making me, I'm abstinent one day at a time, and yes, I'll stop. Sorry. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Leland P. from Germany. We're so glad you're here. Donnelly B., it's your turn, followed by KS. Star one, Donnelly. Okay, maybe she had some technical difficulties. We'll go ahead with KS.
Oh, I finally was able to.
There you are.
Technical.
Go ahead.
Sorry. So, hi everyone. I'm Donnelly B from California. I really wanted to thank the people. I'm new to this meeting. This is my third time back, and it's giving me a lot of hope. I've been more in the disease than not, and so I really don't want to share much about that. We all know about the mess. But I'm very grateful that I have hope. I love the Big Book. And I wanted to thank several people who have called and texted me, welcoming me and saying hello. And I've been in various programs for many years, and that hasn't happened a lot. And so I especially appreciate and want to keep coming back. And thank you for giving me some hope that maybe finally I experienced 2 years of blessed abstinence, and I, you know, would love to be there again. I keep praying and hoping, and I'm going to get a sponsor and keep coming back. Thanks very much, you all. Pass.
Thank you so much, Donnelly B. from California. KS, it's your turn to share, and then I'll be taking a name or so more. Go ahead, Kay.
Thank you so much. I'm KS, recovered compulsive eater and grateful member of OA. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank you for your service and everybody that helped get this meeting going and all the wonderful shares. That's how I got better, is people saying things I wasn't even aware I was doing. And I think one of the reasons I love this program so much is it's a design for living. And what this guy didn't realize is that's what got him through all those years. And for some reason, it's like the lies we tell ourselves. The isms are still there. Whatever we find in our fourth step, which is the nature of our nature, for me, is always going to be there. And my denial of those is what can bring me back. It could be my ego. It could be all the self-pity, self-centeredness, self-reliance, whatever, resentment, anger, whatever isms that I am prone to, those don't go away. And what I believe, really, honestly, I believe food is one way I get called. It's a calling to get me to a program where there is an answer. And the food is just a vehicle to drive me to the spiritual road for which I am going to have success on. And so it is about the food for sure. In the long run, for me, what I've learned is this is a design for living that works, and it comes with a plethora of resources of people that have recovered and are so willing to share how they got there with the humility that, you know, sometimes I have many years where I relapsed and couldn't get it. I started out great. Then I thought, just like this guy, I got some crazy idea. Oh, I've got this. And my other program will be enough or whatever. There's a million lies we could tell ourselves. There's no point of going over how many. But the main thing is what we come back and we get quiet and we get honest and we get with our higher power. And you and the lovely people and the program of all the meetings that are available. And that's where we find our truth again. And sometimes it takes a long time. I mean, the timing we just do not have control over. But I do know, I'm very much a believer of stay until the miracle happens for you, because I do believe the answers will come for each person. And in the meantime, we learn a lot. Even in my failures, I learned, oh, I can't do that, or, oh, that's a lie, or, boy, I was kidding myself there. So none of it is really failure. It's all I call them lessons in ugly wrapping paper. But anyway, just grateful to be here. Thanks so much. That's all I got.
Thank you so much, KS from Iowa. And we do have time for another share. Is there someone who hasn't shared in the last few days who would like to share with us on these seven sentences?
Deb E.
Go ahead, Deb E.
Thanks. This is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I lost track of exactly which seven lines it was from the paragraph, but it was just making me think of like the progression of, you know, when I got some inkling at a certain point in my teens that like something was really off with the way I was using food and my relationship with food and my relationship with my body. And I tried to control it, and I managed to control it for a while. And at one point, it just didn't work anymore. You know, the control only got me so far. And it was the only thing I tried because it was the only thing I could think of. Like, I had no idea that, like, there was no reason for me to even think that it had anything to do with spirituality because spirituality was had no part in my life at that point. I had no clue. So I just kept trying to force it. And what I really like in this reading is that it reminds me that no matter how many years I have, and I've got over 20 years of abstinence, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. Like, it matters that I have them, but it doesn't matter in the sense that, like, every day I wake up and I have to work this program. I don't get days off. I don't have the luxury of not doing 12-step work and not connecting with my higher power, because when I don't, anytime, you know, I start having a rough time emotionally, it's because I'm not as connected spiritually. And it's without fail, it's always the answer. Spiritual connection is always the answer I found for me. So I will pass with that. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Deb E. from Israel, and to everyone who shared, making this meeting just really very special. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Luann C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me, Dawn?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. I'm Luann C., recovered in Boise, Idaho. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.